Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will revisit preferred securities investing, including a look at 2026 performance expectations, as well as positioning within this asset class. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back to Top of the Morning, Senior Fixed Income Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Frank Saleo. Frank, thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. Nice to have you back with us.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
So, Frank, to begin, it might be helpful for our listeners, our clients, if you can begin by just providing us with a general overview and introduction to preferred securities investing.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Preferred securities is an umbrella term, really, covering different types of income securities. But there are two main common characteristics that make a preferred a preferred. The first common trait is that preferreds have a coupon payment that's discretionary or deferrable. So unlike a senior bond that would trigger a default if the coupon is missed, in the case of a preferred, if the preferred issue is facing distress or insolvency risk, that issuer can actually skip the preferred coupon without triggering a default. The second main characteristic is that preferreds are subordinated in the issuer's capital structure. So although they are preferred or senior relative to common stocks, they're subordinated to all forms of debt in the issuer's capital structure. And that subordination is also typically accompanied by a very long dated maturity or even a perpetual no maturity date. So we'll either see typically a perpetual preferred stock or a 30-year maturity junior subordinated hybrid preferred. But in either case, preferreds also tend to be callable. So even though they're either perpetual or very long maturity, they can be redeemed at the issuer's option after the expiration of a call protection period. So those are just some characteristics and common traits of the individual preferred securities. But the more important element to this story is the reason why investors choose to invest in preferreds, and the reason is yield and quality. So two reasons, really. Preferreds can offer relatively high yields from generally good quality issuers. Actually, the main issuers of preferreds, half of all U.S. preferreds, are issued by banks, and typically the large money center banks or super regional banks, the household names we're all familiar with. And U.S. banks actually are required to issue preferreds by federal regulation. So that's why they comprise a large portion of the issuer composition. Again, roughly half of all U.S. preferreds are issued by banks. Utilities is the second largest. The utility sector, the second largest issuer of preferreds. The utility share of the issuer composition of preferreds has doubled in over the past 3 years to about 17%, as many utility companies have issued hybrid preferreds to fund the expansion of AI-related power generation capacity, of course. We've all been hearing about that. So as a result of this, these two major issuers of preferreds, the preferred sector just has an inherent quality bias. So although the preferred securities themselves are subordinated in the issuer's capital structure and their ratings are notched lower because of that relative to the issuer's senior credit rating, the quality of the issuers themselves is generally investment grade. These are high quality issuers, typically from highly regulated sectors like the banking sector and the utility sector. So that's the quality piece. In terms of yield, in exchange for the subordination and the unknown redemption timing, investors get a higher yield premium from preferreds. So, for example, the yield premium on a bank preferred will typically be 1.5 to 2 times the yield premium on that same bank's corporate bond. So let's say today 10-year bank bond yield about 5%, give or take. And that's about 75 to 80 basis points above the 10-year treasury yield. Well, bank preferreds yield roughly 5.75% today, so you're getting an additional 75 basis points of premium, yield premium, over risk-free rates, over what you're getting in the bank bonds. And here's another element to the yield story. Preferred yields historically approximate the yields found on double B-rated high-yield bonds. But again, they're typically associated with higher quality issuers than double B-rated high-yield bonds. Typically, it's interesting, over the past 10 or 20 years, the average yield in the double B corporate bond high-yield index and the yield on the preferred index has been about within 10 basis points of one another. Today, you're actually getting somewhat of a higher yield from preferreds relative to double B-rated bonds. The yield on preferreds is about 25 basis points more than double B-rated bonds. But again, preferreds are issued from higher quality, typically investment-grade issuers. And then, Dan, one final point when it comes to value. Coupons on perpetual preferreds, for example, perpetual bank preferreds, are often eligible for QDI treatment, so they're tax advantaged. That means at least half of all preferreds are tax advantaged, so those yields may actually be higher on a taxable equivalent basis. That 575 yield on your average preferred, if it's a QDI preferred, could be closer to a 7% yield on a taxable equivalent basis for investors in the highest tax bracket. So, Dan, that's just a quick overview of why many yield investors include preferreds and choose preferreds for their income portfolio.
Well, thank you, Frank, for that Preferred Securities Investing 101. Some very helpful context there for our listeners and clients. Okay, let's now switch over to performance. So as we're beginning 2026 here, Frank, can you remind us how the preferred sector performed in 2025 and what's the outlook ahead?
Yeah, sure thing. Performance-wise, compared to other spread products like high yield and investment-grade corporate bonds, the preferred sector posted just modest returns last year with an overall return of about 5.9%. Not terrible, but a little less than the returns found last year in high yield bonds and investment-grade corporates. But we can deconstruct that return for the preferred sector into the two primary subsectors of preferreds. We have $1,000 par institutional preferreds and $25 par retail preferreds. And the $1,000 par preferreds actually gained 8.3% last year, while retail $25 par preferreds underperformed at just 3.6%. Now, there are several reasons for that underperformance. First, compared with institutional preferreds, the retail preferreds are more sensitive to interest rate volatility. And that's primarily because they typically have fixed rate coupons, which gives them longer duration and greater sensitivity to interest rates. So the volatility in interest rates we saw last year had a greater negative impact on the $25 par sector. Secondly, $25 par preferreds are more highly correlated to the equity market. And there's a few reasons for that. It's likely attributable to the retail investor base focus for $25 par preferreds, but also there's a greater influence of ETF flows on retail preferreds than on institutional preferreds. The flows into and out of preferred ETFs tend to have a greater impact and tend to magnify volatility in the $25 par subsector than in the institutional $1,000 par sector. And finally, the third contributor to the performance disparity between the $25 pars and the thousands is that there has been and continues to be a greater technical support in the $1,000 par space. You know, Dan, over the past 2 years, we've seen a wave of bank perpetual preferred redemptions, and that's been leading to a limited supply dynamic. So it's a technical support in that the supply of perpetual bank preferreds has been limiting, has been limited. We actually saw net redemptions in 2024 and very little expansion in 2025. At the same time, we've seen a wave of utility dated hybrid preferred issuance, as I mentioned earlier, primarily from utilities looking to expand AI-related power generation capacity. But this greater supply of utility hybrids actually has led to broader demand from investors like pensions and insurance companies that may not be permitted to invest in perpetual preferred. So we're seeing greater demand come into the market, particularly attracted to those new utility hybrids, and more limited supply of the bank perpetual preferreds. And together, they're providing technical support, more supportive supply-demand dynamics. But these have primarily played out in the $1,000 par space, not so much in the $25 par space. So that's the third reason for the performance disparity between the two. In terms of an outlook, I'm expecting similar returns this year to last year, namely somewhere in the mid-single-digit range, possibly higher. Valuation will be somewhat of a limiting constraint in terms of relative value from a historical standpoint. There's not a lot of yield pickup in the preferred space, and there's not a lot of yield pickup, frankly, anywhere in the credit markets. We all keep seeing headlines about investment-grade corporate bonds or high-yield corporate bonds with credit spreads that are still stubbornly tight, stubbornly low, remaining near multi-decade lows across the spectrum. But that said, the preferred sector does remain a solid choice for investors to get good, solid yields. You can get yields of about, like I said, 5.75% or close to 6% from high-quality issuers. And, Dan, that's going to be an effective investment strategy this year, especially as cash rates continue to fall as the Federal Reserve continues to cut short-term rates.
So, Frank, with that, let's talk a bit about how individual investors can access the sector and invest in preferred securities. What guidance can you offer there?
Yeah, well, individuals can invest in preferreds through traditional portfolio vehicles like mutual funds, closed-end funds, SMAs, and ETFs, just like any other sector. But they could also use individual security selection, and which is basically what I focus on. I regularly publish reports with individual preferred security recommendations that investors can consider, both from the $25 par subsector and the $1,000 par subsector. Both of these are available to private clients and UBS investors. The best strategy is to take a holistic approach to preferred sector investing. And in my view, that means differing the structure, including retail $25 pars, including institutional $1,000 pars. The $25 pars tend to have fixed rate coupons. The $1,000 pars tend to have variable rate coupons. It's important to mix those together and get that diversity of structure. And also importantly, the primary market trends that I described earlier with more limited supply of bank issuers and expanding supply of utilities, as I mentioned, that's happening in the $1,000 par space predominantly. So the differing issuer compositions within the $25 par and $1,000 par segments will contribute to continued divergence in returns, just like we saw last year. So preferred investors should consider using a combination of individual security selections and portfolio vehicles to ensure that they have enough of that subsector diversification. Investors may be able actually to improve overall risk-adjusted performance by adding those $1,000 pars. And frankly, many individual mutual funds, SMAs, or ETFs may not focus on the $1,000 par subsector. So it's very important to consider, and it's really important to look at from a private client standpoint, maintaining exposure to a variety of different types of preferreds and diversifying those preferred structures is really important, Dan.
Well, Frank, nice catching up with you as always. Thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning for this Preferred Securities Investing Update covering what preferred securities investing is, a performance reflection for 2025, a performance outlook for 2026, and ending there on how to invest within the asset class. And I will point out to our listeners and our clients of UBS that Frank Saleo's published resources on the preferred security sector can now be located up on ubs.com/CIO. Though, of course, for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive direct copies of Frank's resources when it comes to preferred securities investing. Though, Frank, thank you again for dropping by Top of the Morning today. Always great catching up with you.
Likewise, Dan. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.